The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America.
Small Biz America.
This is the National Networker. Here's your host, Adam Kovitz.
Hello and welcome again to the National Networker Show. I'm your host, Adam J. Kovitz, and I'm very excited to be talking today. You know, one of the things that we deal with a lot in the world of networking is networking across cultural boundaries and generational boundaries. And our guest today is the president of MBC Global, that stands for Multicultural Business Coalition, and their entire organization is about bridging cultures, bridging generational boundaries. So I wanted to welcome Rick Weaver. Rick, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Adam.
I appreciate it. Rick, tell us about your background. What led you to wanting to bridge these boundaries? What led you to, I mean, in my mind, bridging boundaries is really networking. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
So what got you there?
Well, I come from a retail background. I was with a major retailer for 28 years, and my specific area of responsibility was working with vendors and helping them to meet our need as a company, you know, get our deliveries packed the right way and on time. And in doing so, I went to a tremendous number of plants and factories and distribution centers and saw over and over again that there was a huge disconnect between different levels of the organizations. And I started to work on that as I was going to these various companies. And after I took a buyout package, I decided I would start an organization that would do that, that would help bridge different aspects of an organizational an org chart. And what it ended up looking like was addressing the various cultures, the generational cultures, and, you know, obviously there's religious cultures, racial cultures, sure, gender cultures, but bridging those cultures to get people to talk to each other to handle their business problems. And then it obviously went a whole different route, or on top of that, of getting people who are in the entrepreneurial world and the human resources world to start talking to each other based on the cultures that make them who they are.
Excellent. So, that's where MBC Global was born, I'm assuming?
That's the origins. There's a large auto show in the Detroit area that a magazine had asked us to go to and do a survey of the auto dealers. And that basically it was a single question: what do you do to reach out to cultures? And every auto manufacturer there said exactly the same thing. They said, we build cars that everybody likes. And we're like, wait a minute, that's not the right answer.
Sure.
But you know, we've been taught to be politically correct and not to recognize that people are different. And when it comes to networking, that thinking will really eliminate a lot of networking opportunities.
Why do you say that? I think when people talk about politically correct, I believe they're sort of kind of referring to diplomacy, but instead it does have a harsher evil side to it. Where does MBC Global fit into that, or at least what are your views on that?
Our viewpoint is you need to be politically incorrect.
Okay.
The thing with political correctness is we've been brainwashed to think that there is an evil aspect to prejudice, whereas there really is only an evil aspect to prejudice if you use it for prejudice sake or for evil's sake.
Okay.
When you look at somebody who's different from you and you assume negative things, well, that is wrong. But when you look at somebody who's different from you, and then you assume that there's some, there are some traits that you can identify. For example, let's say you're at a networking function, and you're, say, 50, 55, going on your second career by trying to build your own company, And there's other people at the networking group who are in their 20s. Well, to assume that they're not going to want to talk to grandpa is wrong, because they will talk to you.
Okay.
But you want to make sure that you speak in a language that they'll understand. I'll give you a cute example. I'm in my mid-50s, and to me, when you have a meeting with somebody, or you're arranging a meeting, you want to get together, and you want to hook up and have a cup of coffee. Well, when you talk to the 20-year-old, hookup has a sexual connotation to it.
So
you
got to
be aware of that language. You know, so if I walk up to a 22-year-old girl and say, hey, I'd like to hook up with you, you know, I'm sending a horrible message, and I'm never going to relate to this person ever again.
Sure, sure. So what? So how do you? So what would you do in that situation?
Well, the whole key to networking, regardless of cultures, is you want to get to know people. So when you throw in the culture, it's respecting, you know, identifying who they are, respecting who they are, and then you can use some broad generalities, keeping in mind that they could very well be wrong. For example, if you see somebody who is Latino or Hispanic, it is normally a safe assumption that family ties are very strong for them.
Okay.
So if you really want to get to know the person, you may want to ask about their family. How does your family have an impact on your building the business? Things like that. Those are things that they will relate to because those are very near and dear to the Latino community.
Sure, sure. Now it's interesting because we have a multicultural business editor, Maria Elena Duran, who also writes about these types of issues. So I know that you do a lot of work in and around the Detroit metro area. Do you move outside that? And if not, you know, other than the fact that you're located in the Detroit metro area, you know, why do you concentrate in that area?
Well, when we started out, we were going to build a local organization and then do a cookie cutter across the world. What ended up happening was one of the very first things that we got involved in was a sister city arrangement between Los Angeles and Beirut.
Hmm.
And what ended up happening was that took over our organization, and of course neither one of those are Los Angeles. And we ended up working on that and got our name known in both the West Coast of the United States as well as throughout the Middle East. And then it was almost like a train out of control. We had people calling us from Siberia, South America, wanting to connect with the United States, with people in other countries. Africa was very much the same thing. They want to network with the rest of the world. So we concentrated on the international since the opportunity was obviously there. But now we still have not built our local organization. So we're back to the creating the cookie cutter that then can be replicated.
Sure. Well, one of the things that amazed me, and we were talking about this before the interview, you actually have members on all six inhabited continents, correct?
That's correct. And if we can figure out a way to network with penguins, we're going to Antarctica.
Wonderful. So networking across special boundaries is also one of the next thing you'll be working on, I'm sure. So
mm-hmm.
That being said, well, and you're also doing something very interesting with Ghana as well. Tell me more about that.
Well, we have a trip coming to Ghana. The initial trip is going to be actually in a couple of weeks, where we're going to Ghana and we're establishing relationships with business leaders, government leaders, and educational leaders, and developing partnerships and joint ventures with American business people. Our interest in it is getting people connected to each other between the United States and with Ghana. The idea is if we can address the cultural aspects as opposed to the normal trade missions, which are, let's go from our country to another country and get them to invest in our country. And then what ends up happening, you don't learn the cultures, so you don't know how to network with the people outside of the facilitated meeting with whoever's putting together the trade mission. Our goal is to set you up culturally with the folks in Ghana and the folks here in the United States so that you can then continue your own networking culturally based and recognizing each other's, you know, habits, likes, dislikes, needs, and wants. And from that, you'll have a very strong partnership going forward.
What, and this may be a sensitive subject, but I think it's appropriate to bring it up. There are those people in the United States that feel that we haven't necessarily we've missed a lot of opportunities as a country to build our own relationship capital with other. With other nations. What are your views on that, Rick?
I think as individuals, we tend to think, especially lately, that the United States is not well received in the rest of the world. We think a lot of people don't like us as a country. And although it's true that, you know, as we hear that a president of a foreign country was elected because of their anti-American stance, we somehow tend to forget that there's a country with the government and there's a country with individuals. And although some people may dislike our government, as individuals, Americans are well respected around the world. Remember, the rest of the world is going to free enterprise. And who knows free enterprise better than the capitalistic United States?
Gotcha. So in that regard, we're viewed as experts in a sense, correct?
Right. We understand how to make money as an individual entity.
Excellent. So it's not always as bad as the media might say. From what you're telling me, it sounds like the governments perhaps, but the people know.
Right.
Okay. That's great. That's good news to hear. So, all that being said, what do you think the future? What's in NBC Global's future? What do you aside from the trip to Ghana? What's next for you guys?
Well, we're looking very aggressively at other types of cultural connections. We have a foundation that we're building here that will tie in the different groups in the Detroit area. For example, we may have the president or a governor coming in from a foreign country. Let's say we've got somebody coming here from Italy. And there are the Italian American Cultural Association may be sponsoring them. But there's other people who are not part of their typical mailing list that would do very well in networking with that group and learning what's going on in Italy and the business opportunities that are there, both import and export. So our future is to connect as many different organizations as we can, and their ethnicity, a tremendous amount of generational organizations from the Junior Achievement to SCORE, which most cities have SCORE, which is retired executives.
Yes, yeah.
So you've got those networking opportunities where you can bring those folks together. SCORE has their mailing list, Junior Achievement has their mailing list, and the two are completely isolated in many cases from a marketing standpoint. They may network together, but when they market events, they typically don't cross-market. So we're trying to pull those together. We can see if we can do that in major cities, and major cities would be the top two or three cities in each state. So we're talking about the entire country, and the provinces in Canada are the same way, as well as the districts in Mexico. So you can do that across the board and build strong organizations where people can really start to cross-network with other cultures.
Excellent. Excellent. It sounds like you have a lot on your plate. And what's the best way for people to find out more about you, Rick, and MBC Global?
Well, our website, mbcglobal.org, has a tremendous amount of information about what we're doing, some of our partnerships around the world, events that are happening. And one of the main things that we are currently developing is our cultural bridges, which looks at 22 different cultural categories and what are the distinctions within those categories.
Excellent. And in understanding that, how does that help us?
Well, one of the main things that a lot of people that are entrepreneurs can capitalize on is within every community in the world, not just the United States or Pennsylvania or Michigan or California, but every community has emerging populations now. And there's a tremendous opportunity to break into other cultures. It's not widely known, but cultures don't typically like to do business with themselves. There are exceptions to that. But let's say, for example, the Middle Eastern culture. If you're an immigrant or a migrant from the Middle East and you're in Minneapolis, you don't necessarily want the other members of your community knowing your finances. So when you want a financial planner, you want somebody outside of your community. But financial planners shy away because they say, well, they're just going to support each other. The secret to building your business and networking with other cultures is to recognize that I need to build a relationship first, just like any other networking. You don't go to a networking event to sell or to find a job. You go there to build a relationship.
Yes.
And when you do that, you can open up an entire culture. And one thing they will do is they will tell their friends that you are a great person to work with.
Interesting. So it all makes sense. So Rick, where, you know, in the bigger picture, when you know, we take a look in the National Network and of course in RNIA at the bigger relationship networking picture, where does an organization like MBC Global fit into that?
We're an organization that's empowering people through knowledge. So if you want to know, how do I break into this culture, how do I talk to somebody from this culture, what are some of the things I shouldn't say, or what are some of the things that maybe I want to bring up, our cultural bridges are there to help you understand that aspect.
Excellent. So for those folks who are looking to understand more, again, we urge them to take a look at www.mbcglobal.org, correct?
Right, mbcglobal.org.
Rick, thank you so much. You're a wealth of knowledge, and I really appreciate you being on the show today. And hopefully we can check up with you at a later date, find out how much more you've managed to bridge those divides.
Well, absolutely, anytime. I really enjoy reading the newsletter that's 4 weeks out of the month.
Yeah.
And a lot of information in that, too. So it's been a pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you, Rick, and you've been a very good friend to the National Networker. That's it for the National Networker show today. As always, we like to thank our sponsors. That would be smallbizamerica.com, foundercontact.com, and QAlias. So, again, thank you so much from myself, Adam Kovitz. Thanks for listening to the National Networker show. We'll catch you again sometime real soon.
Thanks for listening to the National Networker. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.